This week's Bible reading, Jesus said, the phrase that I want to focus on, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And bread is, it's both a symbol of life. I mean, we see bread as it relates to life. Bread is one of the necessary ingredients and something that's necessary for life. And bread means nourishment to someone who is hungry. You've heard the phrase, if you give a man a loaf of bread, he'll eat for a day. If you teach him to grow wheat or whatever, he'll eat forever. Or there's another one that Billy Graham used to use, this one. And it had to do with sandwiches instead of bread. But he said, if you want to share the gospel with a hungry person, take your little gospel tract and wrap it in a sandwich. And that makes sense, you know? Share the good news, but what good does a piece of paper do to a person who is hungry about the four spiritual laws or something like that? So give them a sandwich so that they understand, you know, this kind of food. So Jesus talked about bread and nourishment to people. Now, the people he was talking to, maybe they weren't starving, but maybe they were. But they were people who wondered more often where their next meal would come from. Because Jesus was not talking, at least in these contexts, to the rich people. He was talking to the people without enough money and people who probably went without meals and did not have their fill very often. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Is that you read that, we don't get it. We don't get the never be hungry part. Well, we do. I mean, we're never hungry. Well, I mean, to a certain extent. In our communities, in the Western world, in the United States, hunger is not the kind of issue that it is in the other two-thirds of the world. We're not only not hungry, we're overstuffed, right? Because we have, instead of a multitude of food programs to feed people in the United States, we have a multitude of food programs to keep people from eating in the United States. We have diets and we have Christian weight loss. You can find that. We have scientific weight loss plans and we have miracle weight loss pills, some of which get recalled about 6 months later because they had dangerous chemicals in them. We have the grapefruit diet. Remember that one? Yeah, we have low-carb diets. You know, a bunch of those. We've got Dr. Phil's diet. I'm not sure if that's really popular now or not. It kind of goes up and down depending on Dr. Phil's popularity. We've even got the Pat Robertson diet. Pat Robertson had a diet. There was like this shake and stuff like that, and he swore by it. He said, this is the diet, and he sold a lot of diet stuff. Go Pat for making money hawking God. We've got the celebrity juice diet. That's a you drink just juice and it's a cleanse and stuff like that, and you lose like 40 pounds and gain it back in 3 days, you know, something like that. We've got the Zone diet, which is kind of low carb, kind of stuff like that. We've even got, there is a Bread for Life diet, or some people call it the Bread of Life diet, but it's definitely Christian weight loss and they call it the Bread for Life diet. You can lose weight while never being hungry is kind of how they put it there. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was a butterscotch pudding diet somewhere. That would be kind of like the cleanse diet where you would just eat and eat and eat and it'd go right through you, just like that. But with all these diets, the question is, how are we living in a land not only of plenty but too much to eat supposed to understand a promise to never be hungry? Most of us live in this country not only not hungry but stuffed to the gills. But I should pause for a moment before this turns into a rant and say that I know that there are many in our country who don't have enough to eat. There are studies that say students that suffer from food insecurity do more poorly in school. But we don't have. Well, there are folks in our communities that can't make ends meet and need food programs to get enough food to eat. But starvation is not an issue in the United States, in Canada, the way it is in two-thirds of the world, where 200 people die every minute from starvation. The kind of starvation that you just have not had food for days and days and days and days. Someone told me about the 5-5-5 thing, that your body can go 5 weeks without food, 5 days without water, and about 5 minutes without air. And that's, remember, it's not exact, but that's one of those things. So we got to compare our issues with food and some people with food insecurity. We even have like a fancy name for it, with real starvation that happens with far too many people. And Jesus said, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And maybe the people that Jesus was talking to didn't get things like starvation either. He did remind them how the people of Israel ate manna in the wilderness, or at least that they reminded him, and he talked about it, depended on it for nourishment. And they had just experienced the feeding of the 5,000, however that worked. Well, they started with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So maybe they weren't thinking about being hungry. They were just thinking about more and more and more. And greed was setting in, and they wanted more signs, and they wanted more foods. They wanted more miracles. But they did experience hunger pangs. And we experience hunger pangs sometimes. Your stomach growling, wow, I'm really hungry, but it's been, 3 hours or 4 hours since your last meal. Or sometimes we've done with youth groups before the 30-hour famine and 30 hours without food. You feel the hunger after that, but you're still not getting a taste of real hunger, the kind of hunger that a Bible verse like this says, whoever comes to me will never be hungry, would have such power. But I wonder, I've been thinking all week, how do we get a little taste of this hunger? And so you go with the 5-5-5. We can't go 5 weeks without food to experience, right on the doorstep of death kind of starvation. And in a church service, we can't go 5 days without water. And I'm not going to ask you to, it's dangerous. But we're going to go, just try this, if you're willing to. Not everyone has to, but when I say to, breathe out fully. All the way, let your breath all the way out, and then pause. Don't breathe, not yet. Just don't practice yet, because I'm talking, so I can't do it. I want to do it with you. Pause for about 3 seconds, and then maybe up to 10 seconds. I'll even time it to see. Try to pause without breathing for 10, and some people might even be able to do it for 20 seconds. And when you know it's necessary, when your body just says, I must breathe in, then breathe in, and it's okay to gasp. So here, I'm going to time it there. And don't do this if you're scared to do it or anything like that, but try breathing out and then breathe in when you absolutely have to. Are you ready? Breathe in. Breathe all the way out. Can you feel it? That's a little bit of what hunger is. It is that true hunger. It is so necessary to breathe in. Like, it's so necessary to have food. Without it, you won't be able, you'll faint. Without it, you won't be able to exist. Extreme hunger. The overwhelming relief you feel when you breathe in is like the relief someone who is starving would have had when they discovered that whoever comes to Jesus will never be hungry again. There's that relief when you finally get to breathe in. So now maybe you take this understanding of hunger, and it's not exact, but it's the best that I could come up with for, how do we experience that? Because truth is, we're not going to experience hunger like that throughout our lives. We're not going to experience starvation like that. But try to take the overwhelming joy of having a breath and the overwhelming despair of not being able to breathe in right there and apply it to our deepest wants and needs. Because really, most people talk about this passage and say it isn't about, physical hunger, but it is about needs and desires and God filling those things. But sometimes we just take that and it's too easy. And Jesus' words are more powerful than that. So try to apply that overwhelming joy to your deepest wants and needs. And maybe that is, think about what they are. Maybe it's a home. Or maybe it's healing from disease. Maybe it's enough money to pay the bills. Or family unity. Or a relationship that is restored because it has been separated for far too long. Or maybe it's security in retirement. Maybe it's just safety. Maybe our deepest wants and needs just involve wanting to be loved or wanting to be in love. I don't know what your deepest needs and wants are, but may we each hunger for more of what Christ has for us, the bread of life. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for overwhelming joy. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for giving us the bread of life. Thank you for filling our deepest needs. Amen.